Welcome to Impact Investing TV show.
We show you solutions to global environmental and social challenges to inspire you for actions towards the SDGs.
You will also learn the best way to invest your money and create impact while making profit.
Let's discover impact investing world and true sustainability right now. Hi, and welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjee. Today is episode 6 of season 6.
Exactly. You remember, we continue to explore the topic of this season, impact investments in times of crisis. Today, we are going to present one of the solutions from carbon-free energy production and pave the road to cheap hydrogen.
And coming from three generations of engineering family, I'm so excited to hear of today's business, which is based on anion exchange membrane technology.
I hope after hearing that word, people will still watch us. And before we dive deep into this technology and its amazing impact, I want to thank our dear audience for all the support, feedback, and for watching us. And what's your story for today, Ben? So, prefer be something that impacts everyone.
So today I want to talk about something rather dangerous. Oh. So one of the most severe danger today we are facing is from fake media and fake news, especially from social media. So for example, I read that since Elon Musk had taken over Twitter, fake news, conspiracy theories, and of course, hate speeches have increased significantly at all the channels, especially at Twitter. And of course, it is being peddled by the conservative and extreme right-wing media around the world. I was reading very funnily, in there are some sites, some media, where they claim that there is no war in Ukraine. Oh. It is just some actors dressed as Russians and some actors dressed as Ukrainians.
I don't say a word, I think, but it's not very bright from the people. And you really touched the topic which impacts almost every human on the planet nowadays.
Exactly. So if you put it in our world, so that means in the world of impact investment, there are not only very many powerful stakeholders who deny climate change, but they are also using social media channels to spread fake news and weird theories on green energy, on climate change, and even opposing every movement away from fossil fuel. It's going so far that the next presidential candidate from US, the Republican candidate, DeSantis, is even attacking the ESG ratings of investments and public investments. And this is getting worse because people are now using more and more AI to fill the media with fake news.
That's indeed dangerous, Paz, and is worrying, but worrying doesn't help.
Exactly.
So this is why in our turn today, we bring our news in showing how we can produce clean energy in the most efficient and commercial way. And the company is from Ben's favorite country, from his country, yes, Netherlands. With this, I'd like to welcome Jan and Jani from Netherlands and from the company Elec Hydro. Are you with us today? Hello.
Hello, Ben, Sweta.
Compliments. How are you? Where are you? Are you still in Netherlands?
Yes.
The both of us.
Working from home.
Yeah. And
which city do I?
That's great. Let me first introduce you briefly to our audience before we jump into the questions. So Jan van Opstel, you are the director of finance at Elec Hydro Company. After your long career in the financial sector, we were colleagues, you know, I'm also from that world, you have been an independent consultant since 2001, and you have held several management positions at several banks and insurers and played a role as a boardroom advisor at several companies. And now being the director at Elec Hydro, you focus on finance and corporate governance, which is very important. And now, Jani Roland Holst, you are the director of strategy at Elec Hydro. After your engagement at McKinsey and KPN, you have been active in eco-sustainable improvement since 2004, focused on the development and realization of sustainable business endeavors. And now my favorite part, you have degrees in aerospace engineering and business administration and have experience in strategy formation and project management. From your aerospace engineering background, you can understand the fluid dynamics and thermodynamic processes that play a role in electrolysis. So I hope you will enlighten us with this knowledge today. And now you are the director of Elect Hydro and focusing on R&D and the strategy.
And I just wanted to add that I know Yanni extremely many years. He didn't have so many gray hairs since I know.
Well, it suits him well. Yeah. Now, Jan and Yanni, whoever wants to start, can you tell us your story? Like, how did you meet and united forces to found together the company Elect Hydro?
Well, we have met, I think, 7 years ago. And the first meeting was about trying to establish a factory that makes PV panels. We were working on it and came and learned to know that not only PV panels is a solution to the transition of energy, but that it is also a problem that the panels provide energy not at the right time and not in the right and there's not enough energy at the moment you need it. That's why we investigated new horizons and see how we could solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Add anything to that?
No. Yeah. I think Jan explained it correctly, and from looking at PV and PV parks and what happens when you roll that out in large numbers, you immediately encounter things like grid congestion and distribution problems. And so hydrogen being mentioned as one of the possible solutions, we started looking into possible technologies that could be a breakthrough there. And through our network, we came into contact with a small development R&D company in Germany. And they were exploring the AEM technology to improve the performance of the electrolyzer. And that's basically where the journey and the story starts.
That's where we started. So we had to investigate the technology, which is, of course, the strong point of Jani, and we were looking into how to finance research and development, which is a difficult matter. There is a lot of investors interested in hydrogen, but they would like to have a solid product which has been proven in the market, and in new technologies, that is one of the major problems to solve.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know I have been involved with the hydrogen, and it is a demand-based energies production. I think, Jan, that was the word you were looking for. You have the supply base and the demand. Supply base is now solar energy, wind energy, and hydrogen is demand. So that's really true. And why is sustainable energy so important to both of you?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the basic needs of modern man, you have food and you have water and you have shelter, but energy is now also an important part of that, because so much of what we do needs energy, all our communications technology, computers, etc. So we at the same time, we're facing issues like climate change and environmental pollution, and so we need to find new ways of bringing renewable energy to all people, basically. Yeah. And we feel hydrogen is part of that solution.
Yeah.
And for you, Jan, what would you say? Why it's important?
Well, it's the same. I'm a grandfather at this very moment, so I look into the future of my grandchildren.
And I hope that they can live in an environment which is healthy and prosperous. So we actually need to change our attitudes, especially in the Netherlands, where we are called the lowlands, and that's not for nothing. If the sea rises, the half of Holland will be flooded.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then the question too. So what is Elec Hydro and what's the story behind it, the company itself?
Well, investigating into the solutions for creating hydrogen, we saw that there are several techniques, and we have investigated those techniques. I came to the conclusion that there is one technique which is especially suitable for PV parks and also for wind parks. But PV is the first aim of our company. And PV parks is an interesting product, because where would you like to have your PV park? That's in a area where not that many people live. And that gives you the same time the problem with the PV parks, because getting the electricity out on the grid is a problem in areas with low density of people. So we looked into technologies who could be independent of the grid, and that's what we found. We found a solution for a congestion on the grid and also for a non-grid possibility. That's what's very interesting, because we can create a new market with a new product.
Yes. And can you now finally explain to me what is this AEM technology and how it contributes to the energy transition? And preferably in a language which my grandmother can also understand.
Yes.
And by the way, Yanni, can you please before name what is PV park as well, for those who don't know what is PV?
Oh, a PV, so photovoltaic. So it's basically, the solar panels that generate electricity from sunlight.
Perfect. Now we are, everyone in the audience is on the same page. Let's go to AEM.
Yes. So it is quite a technical matter, but I will try to keep it simple as possible. So as the name already says, it's anion exchange membrane. So it's basically a denotation of the type of membrane that is used in the electrolysis process. When you look at low temperature electrolysis, there are three technologies currently in the market. There's alkaline, which is the oldest, but it has some drawbacks. There is PEM, which is proton exchange membrane. So a similar type of technology, but it uses a different membrane. And then there is AEM. Now, when you compare the characteristics of this technology, and maybe the sheet can be put up, or so in this diagram, you see that AE stands for alkaline electrolysis, and it works, but it has various disadvantages, as you can see. PEM is already better, but also has various disadvantages in certain areas. And what we find, and what is the general consensus, is that AEM combines the positive sides of alkaline and PEM to create a low-cost, reliable system. So thank you for the slide. In that diagram, you saw one red dot still with AEM. And that's basically where our research is focusing on, to get that red to yellow and hopefully to green. And then I think we have the electrolysis technology for the future. The red dot denotes a characteristic that is called current density, which is basically a number for the amount of gas that is produced per square centimeter of active surface in the electrolyzer. And we are, our R&D is focusing on bringing that up from, which is approximately 0.5 amp per square centimeter at the moment, to one amp per square centimeter. So basically doubling the current density, which means that with the same active surface, we can now produce twice as much gas. And the active surface is what costs the money. So double the gas for the same money. That's basically what we're trying to do.
Perfect. And how does it work together, or how are you combining it with intermittent source of energy like solar or wind? And the, what is more important question, I think from the nature point of view, is how does the use of little or no precious metal in your systems, making them cost effective and yes, sustainable?
So basically there are three, what we would call unique selling points of our technology. And the first is that we have best in class efficiency with the maximum controllability. That is the factor that makes the connection to intermittent sources work. Other technologies need a baseload power to keep them running, whereas our system can switch from 0 to 100 and back again, so it can follow the solar radiation or the wind blowing and can optimize the use of the generated power. So the other aspect is low cost, and part of that comes through the fact that we use little or no rare metals. So as a comparison, there was a study done that shows that for a PEM electrolyzer, what the competing technology, there is about 100 euros worth of platinum per kilowatt electrolysis power. And if you then compare that to our target of building electrolyzers for about 250 to 300 euros per kilowatt, you see that takes almost a third of the cost. So if you can take that out, imagine what your cost savings are.
Yeah.
And that's not even considering, of course, the fact that everything in IT, in electronics, in communication equipment, but even in technologies related to the renewable energy transition, these type of metals are in increased demand, but there is only so much in the world to be found. So this detaches us from dependencies of these rare metals, which are going to rise in cost because of the growing demand.
And how do you plan to achieve your goal of developing highly efficient and sustainable electrolysis systems for the lowest possible cost, Yanni?
Well, we first start with a product-based business model. We produce electrolyzers and try to sell. That is the best way to do it. We have some demo possibilities in the Netherlands to show that our product is working with a solar park. We can also show how to integrate the electrolyzers into the park, for which you don't have to switch from AC for DC to AC. You can stay in the same current. That saves money because you don't have to switch. Every switch costs money or efficiency. So you can use some solar panels and produce with those solar panels the hydrogen, which can be transported elsewhere by ship, by pipe or a lorry or whichever transportation mean you have at your possession. That is how we will start. We have our first demo project in Ameland. Ameland is one of the isles up north in the Netherlands. Netherlands is not that big, so for an American, it is quite close. It's only 2 hours drive from my home, so it's quite close.
where we can show the versatility of our solution. And by doing so, we expand the business we have. We are also in contact with the developers of solar parks in order to discuss with them how to use the hydrogen electrolyzer in the most efficient way on their solar parks.
Okay. And you have been mentioning about the Green Hydrogen Accelerator project. Can you say very shortly something about it?
Yeah, so basically it's the name that we have given the project, which covers our R&D, which is ongoing at the moment. We have received a very generous subsidy from the Dutch government and from the EU to do this work. So the Green Hydrogen Accelerator project is the R&D to reach this 1 amp per square centimeter current density to build what are called stacks with that technology, which is the electrolyzer core, and to build a demo system, which John already mentioned, the demo system that will be placed on Ameland next to a PV park that is being built there.
Yeah.
That's basically the ongoing R&D as a precursor to the next plan that is already on the table for the, later this year.
That sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. Yeah.
So, and what is the role, Electric Hydro is playing in the acceleration of the energy transition to the green hydrogen?
Well, what we came to know discussing the plans of a solar panel production facility is that there is a serious problem for developers of solar parks to have a connection with the grid.
Yeah.
So in order to be able to sell your solar panels, you need to have that connection. There are quite a few initiatives which don't come off the ground because there's no grid connection or there is too much offering of energy produced by solar panels on certain times of the day. So that is a problem. So we can solve a problem for the PV park or the solar park developers by giving them an opportunity to create their energy by using renewable sources and transform it into hydrogen, which makes it possible to have the electricity available at a moment in time that the sun doesn't shine or that you need more electricity than the sun.
Exactly. Yeah,
that is the main part of what we are doing. And moreover, we also came to know discussing with those developers that they would like to have a solar park but not the worries about it. So we are working on a model in which we have a more or less service agreement with these developers, in which we provide the service of the electrolyzers. And that also goes very good with our goal to have a cradle-to-cradle solution for the electrolyzer. Because it is completely modular. We can replace membranes, we can repair parts of the electrolyzer at the moment that is needed. So we are, for the future, developing a program in which we service the production of hydrogen on a PV park or on a solar park
Thank you.
Maybe I may add just a little bit on that, because Jan already mentioned it, the cradle to cradle. So what we are doing in the design of our stack is to keep it as simple as possible so that it is easily taken apart. And the different components are mono material. In other words, the metal pieces are one metal, one type only. And if need be, they can be scrapped and melted down to make new parts. But we envision that most of the parts can be used several times in new stacks where we only need to replace the membrane. So that we make optimum use and upcycle every time we use the used parts as much as possible.
Yeah. But that makes sense.
Make our system interesting for the owners of a solar park is that the moment the sun shines, the electrolyzer starts producing. So there's no need to have a base load available. It just starts when the sun shines.
When do you think this will become a new normal? So what are your future plans for the company and how do you hope to expand it reach globally? What is a big mission and vision?
Well, first of all, we would like to establish our first production facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do more research on specific things of our electrolyzer, which we envisioned for the next coming months, because we see that our possibilities to even improve our stacks further, our electrolytes further than we have done today. But first of all, we would like to invest in that, invest in a first production facility, proving that our solution is one of the best solutions at hand, especially for the intermittent sources, and from there build our company. In the end, we think that larger companies are interested in our technology so that we can accelerate the production facilities by creating more production facilities all over the world. But first of all, we would like to start in the Netherlands.
Okay. And what are you looking for equity, investors, or loan?
Or partners?
We are always looking, we're always on the look for partners because you can learn from partners, especially in the phase in which we are in. Knowledge is vital for the development phase. But yes, we are also looking for investors. Big investors in our company, because you need money to have the research for the new stacks at hand. We will have to develop a facility line, an assembly line of electrolyzers, and that costs money. That's why you need investors, and their knowledge of how to build assembly lines is also very, very valuable.
So how much are you looking for? Yeah.
Well, for the next coming 2 years, we are looking for 6 million euros in tranches. The first tranche is to establish a prototype line for the first prototypes to learn about how to establish the production line. Jannie can tell much more about it than I can. And after that, we would like to have a mass production line of electrolyzers running by the end of 24. That is what we are planning for to realize.
And are you only focused on producing in Holland, or you're also open to producing in different countries, different regions?
Well, because we have had some subsidies, we have also an obligation to the Dutch government to establish a factory in the north of the Netherlands. And as you know, Ben, the Netherlands is eager for employment, so that is one of our goals, to establish a assembly line in the north,
yes,
the Netherlands,
especially in the north. Yeah,
especially in the north. But moreover, yes, we're also looking into other countries. We have seen that in America, off-grid solutions are very interesting. So America is a very interesting country. One of our partners is a CEO of DII DeserTech. That is a platform of over 100 companies in the sustainability area, especially the energy area. So we are also looking into the Middle East and northern parts of Africa, because that is a very good area to have a certain
warmth
due to the sun, which shines.
Where's the sunshine, right?
That's where you have to be. So the Middle East and North Africa is one of our goal areas. That team member, Paul van Son, shows us the way how to make contacts in that area.
Exactly.
We won't be surprised
if there will be a question to have an assembly line established in one of those regions.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, that why did you choose, okay, I mean, I understand the subsidy point, because in North Holland, you don't have much sun, although you do have wind.
Yes. We have lots of wind, but to be able to cope with the electricity made by a windmill, you do have to have a very large electrolyzer.
And just one question.
Moment in time, it is difficult for us to make a electrolyzer in that size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the question is. What about your unit price? Because that's the issue in Holland, especially since it's so rich with natural gas, mm-hmm. that your unit price has to really be low enough to be interesting for the grid owners.
Yeah. So part of the, let's say, the production strategy is to make the electrolyzers in numbers that will actually bring down that unit price. So there is some study done in what the price reduction will be as the numbers increase. And then you see that when you reach about 1,000 units per year on electrolyzer stacks, then your cost will drop by 75% to 80%. So it is also part of our strategy to establish production facilities that make those type of numbers, because that's where the cost reduction comes from. Some of the parts that are going into the electrolyzers, they need to be made in a continuous production process. So that will require that large numbers are made in one place, but that leaves still the possibility to assemble in other areas of the world.
Jan, maybe very briefly, can you show us which sustainable development goals, beside, of course, clean energy, you are trying to contribute to?
Yeah, I always find that very difficult, because the goals are very abstractly defined, but I've made an attempt to interpret them into what we're trying to do in our vision as to how we would like to run the company. So maybe if the slide can come up. Naturally, climate action is a logical one. We touched on that several times, to be able to bring renewable energy without a power grid to basically everybody on the planet, and hydrogen and cheap hydrogen will be a possible carrier of that energy. So that's part of the transition from fossil fuels to a clean energy carrier. Affordable, of course, is part of that. So driving the cost down, increasing efficiency of the production units, those are the drivers that dictate our actions towards the future, to make that hydrogen so cheap that it becomes the energy carrier of choice. And in the production, then of course, and in the further development, innovation plays a large role. So we need to keep innovating to stay on top of the developments. Things are moving very fast in the world these days. Having a good relationship with educational institutes is a big part of that, because we need people trained in these technologies to take the company further into the future. So we intend to invest very heavily also in the educational parts.
Yeah. And my question will be, your end user, if I understand it correctly, it can be solar parks or wind parks. Yeah. Or you can yourself set up the whole thing end to end.
Yeah, it's possible.
Now, I think it's the goal we are aiming for, that we could also provide electrolyzing as a service. Mm-hmm. But in the first phase of our company, we will sell electrolyzers. Yeah.
So it's not that we go into the PV market. We leave that to the people that are already in there. They have the knowledge, they have the connections. But we can, in a close cooperation, I think we can achieve more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, the time is running out. It was so interesting to learn more about your technology. And maybe very last question, were your call to action message to our global audience, whoever wants to go first.
Well, I've been thinking about that, and something that is very close to at least my beliefs is, so to your audience from business, I would say, I would call upon them not to wait for governments to make policy and make changes, because it takes a long time and we don't have that time. So my call to action is, let's take the initiative and solve the world's issues through engaged entrepreneurship and work together to solve these issues that play a big role in our lives today and into the future.
Yes, and my call to action is, don't wait until everything is proven. We are indeed in a laboratory phase, but we are ready to go to a production phase. So please step in and let's be active in making electrolyzers so that we can really have a go with the energy transition. It is essential to do it quickly and to take risks. If you do it properly, as banker, I can tell you, if you investigate good into your risk, the return is also good.
Wow, I can just join you in that message. Take risk, dear investors, because as you see so much wisdom and knowledge here at today's TV show. So it's just really, you can take the risk and help the project to make huge impact on our planet. Amazing. Thank you for joining us today, Jan and Janni. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and the project with us.
Been a pleasure. Thank you for your time and for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you in Netherlands soon.
Very good. Bye.
Very good. Goodbye.
Bye. Dear viewers, with this, we finish the 6th episode of season 6. Next 2 weeks, we will be in Dubai and spreading our message of impact investment, presenting impactful businesses to the MENA region. And we truly hope that region will also be conquered. And yeah, we can create a lot of impact there. We'll keep you posted via social media and see you soon after the trip.
And we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investment, branding, or any other support to our TV show. Just contact us at apply@iisolutions.ch. Bye for now.
Bye. Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Impact Investing TV Show. Make sure you subscribe to our channel not to miss any future episodes.
Leave us some feedback and get in touch with us if you want to be our next TV show guest.
And find us on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And join the awesome Impact community. We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And remember, it's not hard to act.
Just give your heart to impact.